But for the people that don't care about me and they just want something from me because it's going to help them, and maybe they haven't asked how I am. I just find it really surface level, and it makes me a little frustrated because it's almost like we've forgotten how to really communicate with one another. And I wonder, is that a COVID problem, or is that an integrity problem that the entire, Gen Z and millennial generation is facing?
Welcome to the Bod Pod, the podcast where everybody is welcome. I'm your host, Rachel K. Grimm, and each week we welcome old and new friends to talk all things body image, self-love, and confidence. This is the Bod Pod.
Hey, Rachel. Hey, girl. So I know we're having Gigi Robinson come on the podcast today in a couple minutes, and she wrote a children's book on chronic illness for children about chronic illness. Do you have kids? I don't even know this about you. Like, is that something you ever wanted to do?
I think kids are great. I think kids can bring a lot of joy to your life. But personally, I do not want children. I don't see my future with children. And also having PCOS, it's really difficult to have children. Not saying you can't have children with PCOS. You totally can. It's just like a big runaround, rigmarole. Is that a word? I don't know. Of making it happen. I don't even know what that means. Long story short, I don't want children. And honestly, if someone is going to live with a condition that makes it hard to have children, I'm glad it's someone like me who doesn't see their future with children. But I'm still really excited to talk to Gigi about this book and talk to her about, as someone who doesn't necessarily see their future with children, why does a children's book matter to me?
I mean, look, kids. I don't want no kids. I don't want nothing to do with them ever. I mean, I love my nephews. Like,
that's what I always say too. I'm like, I love my nephews. Don't get me wrong. Love them.
I don't want nothing to do with them. Like, that don't sound fun. Like, just to let you know, I get cleaners to clean my house. I don't know if you know this about me. If I can't even clean my own house, you think I'm gonna have kids? Not gonna happen. But
oh, I love that. I love that for you.
When I think of like chronic illness, I don't think of kids ever, ever. But,
and same, which is why I think it's kind of iconic that she's doing this, because if we don't think about it, that means that's not a conversation that's being had or has ever been had, at least in our life. And what about children who are either one experiencing chronic illness, or maybe through a parent, right? Mm-hmm. Just truly like creating the understanding around it.
Right.
And honestly, that's why I want to talk to her about why it matters for adults, because I feel like maybe it could give us understanding, you know?
Well, Gigi has, how many kids does Gigi have? Does she have children?
She does not have children. So she is speaking about it from her perspective, like kind of to her past self, which we love a pet, like, speaking to past self, coming out of childhood trauma, like, we love it.
Gigi is one of those people where it's like, who do you think you are? Because like, she's so successful so fast and she's young and it's like, she's conquering the world.
Yes.
And I remember you were telling me that you were like, you went to her book signing. Like, how did that go?
So in preparation for her book launch, she had a book launch party and she had like 30 of her closest friends, family, and like colleagues. She invited me, which I was like, I feel so honored. It was just amazing to see all these people in this room, one, who support her, but two, all are very like-minded. You know, we're always talking about community. We talk about community for the BodCon app and how like it's an online space of creating community. But I love when those community spaces can step offline and in person. And that's totally what we did going there. It's funny though, because I did not expect that. And multiple people were like, wait, this is like a community networking event, not just a brunch. It's like, yeah.
I mean, I remember when you were describing it to me and I was like, she's that girl. Like, okay.
She is.
And it makes me feel like, for like women, young women, to feel like, oh, like I have to wait until I'm older to do things. Cause a lot of times people do have that mindset. Like, I'm too young. Like, she's not that girl. She's going for it.
Yes. And what an amazing example, especially she speaks particularly to Gen Z, and what an incredible example of, you don't have to wait until you're a certain size, until you have a certain amount of money in the bank, till you're a certain age, or you have certain property. Those things do not mean that you're not allowed happiness right now. Like, you can find joy and confidence and success right now without those outside things. And those impact us so much. And I love seeing people like her who are proving for everyone, but then particularly for Gen Z, saying like, no, you can do this all. Right. And I'm so proud of her. Hey, Bod Pod Squad, I'm Rachel K. Grimm, the confidence coach behind Ditch the Click and your Bod Pod host. Every week from my cute Brooklyn apartment, I'm bringing you confidence boosting conversations with some of your favorites in the space. And today I have someone who's been a guest on the Bod Pod before, is incredibly empowering, a friend of mine, Gigi Robinson. If you don't know Gigi Robinson, she is a chronic illness advocate. She's the speaker on creator economy and is now an author. And Gigi, we're going to dive right into you and right into your book.
Hi, thanks so much for that beautiful and warm introduction. And your Brooklyn apartment is so cute.
Thanks, girl. I love that I get to stream from here. So welcome to my home. I'm going to start out by getting out your book. How cool.
Woo!
Okay. Love it. Wait, I wish everyone could see the boomerang that we just took getting ready for this. We had to try
it's
like
so good.
Times. It's fine.
It was so good.
But you wrote a kid's book about chronic illness, and I want to start out by reading a quote that you have in here. It says, "You will grow so much when you learn how to speak up for yourself." And I want to start there because as someone who lives life with a chronic illness, and this is something that you have come to understand about yourself, I'm sure you have found yourself in so many situations of having to speak up for you and finding the power of speaking up for you. And so I want to talk about how you found the confidence to speak up for you.
Yeah, I think this is an excellent way to start. And I think really the biggest thing that inspired me to, and honestly, inspired might be the wrong word. It was forced me to gain this confidence and learn this confidence was the fact that I was diagnosed with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, the chronic illness that I have lived with at around age 10 or 11 years old. And so when you are put in a position at such a young age and to have firm boundaries with like, okay, I have to give my teacher this form so that I can do the schoolwork as best as possible, or I have to give this note to the gym teacher that says I can't participate and I can do something else like physical therapy on the sidelines instead, you're forced to be in a position that other kids simply aren't. They're not put in a position to advocate and step up and express their needs physically. So I think growing up with that through my middle school, high school years really helped me take that power back to kind of be like, okay, I do have this illness, but I can still live life in a way that's gonna, I guess, be productive for me and also helpful. So then when I got to college, really, I would say there wasn't an option, right? It was like you had to go to the disability service office or office of accessibility. You submit your 504 disability accommodation forms that are signed, sealed, delivered by your doctors. And then there is an advisor that kind of acts as the liaison to your professors so that there's no, you know, ableism or there's no pushback. But unfortunately, I dealt with that myself.
Yeah.
I dealt with teachers not believing me. I dealt with friends not believing me. And so during those moments, I knew I needed to be confident and speak out in some way, but I didn't actually have the words to articulate it. So I started bringing my camera with me and my phone and videoing and capturing my experience in the hospital at my doctor's appointments to basically have evidence that I was really sick, that I wasn't bluffing. And so it's just pushed me a lot to really just be my best advocate, whatever that means, and in different ways.
You just made me kind of have an epiphany moment of confidence is advocating for yourself, right? And obviously with a chronic illness, but confidence across the board. Like you said, taking back my power, or I had to claim my power early on. And also isn't that confidence, like claiming your power and saying, no, I'm moving forward in this way because this is what is best for me. And that's what you've had to do. And I appreciate you bringing up about you know, your school situations and friend situations, because that was something that I remember you telling me, and I thought how relatable for so many people, like not believe, like people not believing you or just feeling like, oh, well, here I go again. I have to again tell them something that they're not going to trust me on, but like, this is my life. And mm-hmm. I can only imagine as a young, like this has been majority of your life is living like this and with this.
Oh, thank you so much. And yeah, I ultimately think that back just on that note, I mean, something that, you know, I was really, really keeping in mind as I wrote this book was on the back, it kind of says, yes, it's ages 5+, but the topics and subject matter is about body, courage, illness, and resilience. And yes. I wanted to tell the story not in a way that was like, you know, if you have an illness, it's going to struggle. You're going to go through these hard moments. It's like, you're going to go through that anyway. You might as well use it and leverage that. Yes. To do something good and empowering and learn from it. And for me, again, like I'm just in some crazy, strange way, it's really just helped me learn the art of confidence and standing up for myself. And in that, it's really helped me, I think, make better friends and relationships and partnerships over the past couple of years.
I love that you said about leveraging it. I talk a lot about my family coming from a place of homelessness and how mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want this to be something that defines me forever, all of that loss, and something that can keep me from being who I want to be and going where I want to go. And I definitely, it took a lot of courage to do so, but going back to like college times, leveraged that situation at the time to actually help me gain scholarships, like ways mm-hmm. to afford to do these things yeah. that I always wanted to do. And I think a lot of it is mindset, right? Confidence in general is a mindset, like being willing to think about, rather than I can't, think about what if I can, you know? I want to talk about how it affects us as adults, like whether you're an adult that is expecting, or you do have children, or maybe you're like yourself who you don't have children at this moment, or like mm-hmm. myself who doesn't plan to have children. You know, I want to talk about the importance of this book for us too, because I know why it's important, but from your perspective as the person who put it out, I want to talk about that.
Part of the reason I wanted to start with a children's book is because I felt like it was something I personally wish I had growing up, right? Like I was so used to reading all of the, you know, the fables and the fairy tale stories, which I love, like they're classic, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I think we're living in a time where the world just looks a little bit different and kids want stories that they can relate to, that yes, maybe they can feel like a princess because they sleep a lot and they feel like they're Princess in the Pea, right? Or they can see a little bit of Cinderella in their story, but they're not going to really relate to that in the way that they'll relate to a story about a sick family member, or maybe they're the one that's sick, and or maybe their best friend's sick, right? And so I really think that that's why I wanted to write this book. I wanted to write it because kids are curious. Mm-hmm. And after seeing a couple of my younger, you know, family relatives go through different health issues through elementary, middle, and now high school, it's really bringing me back to a place of like, if they had this book, maybe they wouldn't be as depressed, because maybe they would be able to advocate and talk to their teachers better so that they could get the support, or talk to their friends so that they could get it. So it's as much about the kids as they're growing up and learning it as it is the person they're reading it with, or the person that gave them the book, right? Or that they're going to give the book. So, you know, I'm 24. I had a book launch party with mostly 21 to 28 year olds, plus my parents and a couple older people in the industry. Yeah. And like, part of the reason is not only to like celebrate that, but I really do think if we really think about it, we're all going to have somebody that's sick at a point in our life that we know, unfortunately. It's just the world we live in. And so I think it's cool to just take a moment to read a very simple narrative about a girl who was sick growing up and what she learned from it, right?
I was saying before the podcast actually how one, grateful I was that you invited me to your launch, but two, I was just so impressed by the like room that you had curated. Sure, it looked amazing, but I mean more like the energy in the room, because like it can look good, but like, does it feel good? You know, like it's hard to find good people in general, but particularly mm-hmm. in this creative space. And you even spoke to struggling with that a bit. And so I just wanted to commend you on that room of people.
Thank you so much. And yeah, I mean, I think it can be hard, especially in a world where people do not take integrity seriously. That's maybe a hot take or not, but I just personally don't see people showing up to influencer events typically with anything other than I'm going to get my photos and get some free product and leave. Like, it's not about relationship building yep. anymore. And maybe that's just New York and LA, but I don't know where else there's influencer events besides New York and LA, to be honest with you. But that's just what I've observed. And I've just realized like that's so low level for me. Like, I want to get to genuinely know people and ask them, how are you? Not just like, what are you doing? And yes. that's also something that I think I'm really grateful and lucky that everybody in that room, you know, holds, is really not just how do you do what you do, but how are you? That's something I really try to think about with every relationship I have. Is it worth maintaining if somebody's not asking me how I am, like how I actually am?
Yes.
You know?
Yes. That is so thoughtful, because as you said, the space that you're in, that we're in, fosters, and I don't even want to define it just to our space. Like, we're all busy. We're all busy humans. We all have a lot going on. And it is so easy to be focused on me and where I am and what I'm doing. And it doesn't take a lot, as you said, to ask that, how are you? And that genuine, how are you? So being a creator, having the creator economy, I want to talk about how you've really like fostered that and created this space that people can come to and have that sense of community, that feel good, as opposed to just showing up to get the picture taken and leave with the free gift.
It's kind of hard to give people the benefit of the doubt when you've been let down so many times. So I'm just no, really
preach. Yes.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah. I've been so let down of like meeting these people that I've connected with online, being like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to meet you in person. And then we meet in person at an event and it's just like, what? Where it's like, everyone's like, oh my God, this person's so sweet. But you know that you've been at an event with them where they've totally been shit talking someone, or they've been super nasty and like cold. And I just like don't have the energy for it. It all comes down to the energy and how you circulate it. And so I personally decide to like show up with positivity and energy and like light and things like that, because that's honestly what I want to portray. That's what I want to attract. I'm not going to put anything else out there. And yeah, so I just do my best to do that online, but also to show up as that person in real life. And I think just a lot of the times people are just so phony, and a lot of people are trying to be creators when maybe they weren't meant to be creators, or maybe because of the access to it. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but because the access and the barrier to entry to any social media platform is basically free, unless you pay for their premium, you know, products, anyone can do it. And therefore anyone can be anything, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're passionate about it. That doesn't mean they carry that integrity of whoever they are online is going to show up in person, and vice versa. Not everybody shares their life story online. Sometimes people market things certain ways so that brands will pay them to either speak or to do, you know, collaborations or to go to events or like whatever it may be. But I think it's hard to always give people the benefit of the doubt, because not everybody has good intentions.
You know, I was actually just saying to Leslie as we were getting prepped for this episode, she goes, girl, you're on Do Not Disturb all the time. And I said, listen, I got to protect my boundaries. Like, I have to protect this safe space, because to what you said, there are always people trying to get from you, whether you're a creator or not, right? Like, there are always people trying to take.
I think it's also a moment where I remember in college, I was the girl doing, I mean, I had to work multiple jobs so that I could pay for things.
I feel that.
I went to USC in LA and I just, yeah. I had like, I was like a brand ambassador part-time for three different companies at the same time, posting on social media, was on the e-board of my club, the USC Reach, was also working like an internship part-time on top of a full course load. I mean, it's like no wonder that I got so burnt out and so sick. However, people would always snuff at the fact that I was the girl putting out cute little merch baskets for Tinder, TikTok, and they were always like, ew. And guess what happened? As soon as COVID happened, everyone came rushing to me, asking me for a job, asking me to do them a favor or refer them or give them advice or make a connection. And for the people that I know it would be reciprocated in without a blink of an eye, I would absolutely do that. I'm not threatened. I'm not, you know, I don't have any other motive other than helping my friend. For those people, it's a no-brainer. But for the people that don't care about me and they just want something from me because it's going to help them and maybe they haven't asked how I am, I just find it really surface level and it makes me a little frustrated because it's almost like we've forgotten how to really communicate with one another. And I wonder, is that a COVID problem or is that an integrity problem that the entire, you know, Gen Z and millennial generation is facing?
It's so hard because here we are saying it's so important to focus on me and set boundaries for me and take care of me. But then we're also saying we're leading with me, right? Not us, no. And not the people we like to surround ourselves with and not the type of communities that we want to build. But when I say we, I mean, like, as you said, millennials, Gen Z, like leading with this me. And where do we draw the line of I'm taking care of me, but I'm also taking care of you, aka the people that are really in my circle, the people that really care and are deserving of it.
It's really top of mind because not everybody is willing to answer a question or to make a connection or to promote your book. Like, a lot of people get jealous. A lot of people want to be you. A lot of people want to be near you and adjacent to you, but they don't actually want to be with you. I think there was this like line from the first season of OBX where Sarah says to like her boyfriend Topper, she's like, you don't love me. You want to be seen with me. You want to be like close to me, but you don't actually love me. I'm going to have to like find what it is. But I just think that moment, it makes me realize like people a lot of the times are leading with themselves and their ego, and that's okay. Like, we inherently are human and our ego is a part of our psyche that we have to watch out for, but doing it in a way that's also like not going to hurt anyone or jeopardize anybody's position is so easy to do, and yet we still have people who only want to do things that are going to help themselves. I don't know, it's just complex. I don't have the answers. I don't know what's right or wrong.
Girl, I wish we all did. I wish we could say like, this is how it should be. But I want to dive into some of the jobs you had during school and how they've transitioned now into like life beyond school. And you're doing some incredible things. I mean, girl, you were in Sports Illustrated. You wrote this book. I want to talk about really finding the confidence to like put yourself out there for big things, not limiting yourself, not minimizing yourself, especially when you've been through things that could cause you to minimize, right?
There's this quote that my dad always said to me growing up and still says to me, which is, do today what others won't so that tomorrow you can do the things that others can't. I love that quote.
Beautiful.
For a number of reasons. The first being, it forces you to always learn, you know, put your all in, give something 100%. Learn it, know it through and through, know it like the back of your hand. This was what I did with photography for years and years and years. As I did that, I really started doing well as I entered different competitions. As I entered the art competitions, I started adding to my portfolio. As I added to my portfolio, I started getting into colleges. As I got into college, I started realizing that I had other passions. I stepped in front of the camera I could step in front of the camera because I knew so much about cameras and how to make self-portraits and how to film advertisements because of my experience of knowing something through and through. So as I did that, I think it ultimately just all snowballed. And that's really what happens. I think over time, the more that I focused on one thing and doing it until the point where I felt comfortable enough to start doing something else mm-hmm. was the point where mm-hmm. I saw growth. Had I not given photography my all, I may not have ever been exposed to, you know, you size work or Nigel Barker's work, right? And guess what? In the past year, I met both of them. Yeah. They're both my idols.
Yeah.
Some of the biggest names in fashion photography I've gotten to meet yeah. because I stayed true to my craft of photography and art making, and I stuck with it and I kept learning and I made it a priority. And mm-hmm. I think what confidence is about is priorities. It's about what are you going to gain from it and how are you going to navigate your life with this, I guess, stance. I think confidence is really being firm in your own stance and your existence, right? It's knowing that if you walk down the street and you are listening to music in your headphones and you want to dance down the street, that people are going to give you a funny look because maybe they don't have that confidence to go out and walk down the street like that.
Anyone who's listening knows that, like, I drill this into the ground on the podcast about consistency. Confidence really is making yourself a promise and following it through. It's being consistent. When I felt like I was making no headway and I was just constantly spinning my wheels, I started small with literally morning pages, which, by the way, mm-hmm. When we were at your book launch party, you gifted us all the 5-minute journal, which yeah. the 5-minute journal, you know, for anyone who doesn't know and is listening, goes through the practices of gratefulness and how you want to feel. I've enacted like parts of that in my life for years and have done the act of every morning saying what I'm grateful for. Now, even on the BODCON app, every day I'm going in there and being like, hey, this is what I'm grateful for. What are you grateful for? Making myself that promise. And the original journal I have that I started doing that in, I started it at the end of 2019. And I filled that. I just said to myself, every day I'm going to sit in here and I'm going to write down 3 things I'm grateful for. And that turned into writing a bunch else each day. But I the only expectation, the only promise I set for myself was every day I'm going to write 3 things I'm grateful for. Soon enough, I filled up that journal. And now I've filled up multiple more. And I've done this practice every single day since the end of 2019. And mm-hmm. so for me, though that is something small, that is something that is consistent that I do every single day. I always mm-hmm. promise myself I'm going to do it. And if I don't do it, my whole day is thrown. And I know that. Mm-hmm. And I prove to myself every morning that, like, I can be confident in me. I can trust me because I showed up and I did this thing for myself. And I love that what you've said is that it was you promising yourself that you were going to learn this thing until you are really good at it. And for you, you know, you use photography as the example. You promise yourself that that's what you were going to do. And you consistently showed up and you knew that sometimes you weren't your best, but in showing up, you were going to become your best and therefore mm-hmm. meet the best. How cool. Like, it really is a practice of consistency to get to confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. I have nothing else to add.
Drop mic.
I love it.
Let's talk a little bit about chronic illness and dating. You're young, you're 24. Girl, you're beautiful. You are out there. How are you showing up to dating? Like, how are you showing up in those conversations, in relationship conversations?
For years and years, it was really challenging. I think, you know, during my college years, I experimented a little with hookup culture and I didn't really like it. I didn't enjoy it. And I think I learned that from early on and I knew that about myself, but I just said, well, maybe you need to try it. You could try anything once, right? Like,
yeah.
Just go for it, go through it. So I like did a little, and I was like, yeah, I don't think I like this, like, not really knowing somebody's personality and soul. Like, I have a mission. And for years and years, you know, in middle school, we're going actually way back, not that I needed a middle school boyfriend or anything, but, you know, I was crippled. I had like a cast on my leg, and then I had a cast on my arm the next year, and then I had braces on my legs again, or like my back. And I was not like a cool, popular girl that a lot of guys were, you know, throwing themselves at. I was the girl that took the elevator that was really quiet. So then high school comes along. I go to LaGuardia High School of Music Performing Arts, and it is a majority, more than 75% women there. So if you weren't in that like popular swaggy group of cool, swaggy, popular kids, you know, you likely were not going to be getting with or like chosen to like be in a relationship at that young high school age.
Chosen. That's a whole conversation we could have about feeling chosen, but continue.
Yeah. So you know, there were always these questions of like, well, why don't you have a boyfriend? Like, a lot of 16-year-old girls get boyfriends for the first time. Like, why not you? And I'm like, hey, like, I don't know. Like, why not me? But like, also I'm like a young kid and I go to a performing arts school. Like, I'm also focused on getting a college scholarship. Like, that's fine. Yeah. So then I get to college again. I go through that little like hookup phase. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to focus on my career. Like, all I really want to do is be able to get a good job. Right. So I was really, really focused on that. There were also, you know, some lower moments in college that were slightly uncomfortable that made, I think, my relationship with dating and men really challenging. And so as I worked through that, I decided, like, I'm not going to put myself in a position to get emotionally vulnerable when I'm not okay myself. That was just a personal decision. So I really didn't date through that. I also didn't date at all through COVID. I was just not into it. And I would, you know, download apps, fill them out, maybe match with people. Nobody ever wanted to do something in person because people just want pen pals like nowadays. Like, it was a disaster. But I think for a really long time, I had just really had a negative view on the way that men were treating me and attributing it to the fact that I was sick. Oh, men don't want to be with a sick woman. And one of my close friends had said to me, like, Gigi, all I really want to see is like someone, like a man, like take care of you. Like, it doesn't, like, I want to see him love you regardless. And like, the right person will. I've seen it firsthand. I've seen a family member of mine who's sick, you know, fall in love, find a great partner, like get engaged, get married, start a life together. And I've seen that happen. And I want to see that for you. And so in 2022, I just had my laparoscopic surgery for my endometriosis, and I was like, oh my God, of course, another thing. And this time it has to do with potential like fertility loss. And so therefore, like, is a man going to like not want to be with me because of that? And then I'm like, oh, well, we live in a modern society. There's so many options. Like, there's literally, you can grow embryos in labs now. Like, how crazy is that? Like, so I'm like not as worried about that, but I just think it was really hard for so long health-wise. The whole influencer thing has been a whole other thing that just like, time out. We got to stop. It's just like more common that normal people will post things online and potentially gain a following, right? Mm-hmm. Or like through COVID that became normal. Mm-hmm. So like, even if like some random guy who works at like Deloitte, for example, who's posting things gains a big following, doesn't mean that like he's gonna quit his day job and become an influencer. Versus me, like, I literally am public facing. I go on interviews almost every single day, and I talk to the press, and I create all this emotionally vulnerable content, right? So I think for that, I mean, it has to do with like other people understanding and accepting that role. And a lot of the things that I think get lost in translation is that it's such a young industry, right? Like, there's no, oh yeah, this is what I do. It's like every day, every second, every minute, every week, every month, every year is going to look different for me.
Yes.
Especially if I continue down this road of, right, like in 2020, I started posting this stuff online and I made the decision to start my LLC. And had I not posted those silly little videos flash forward, I wouldn't be a public speaker and an author. And yeah. I think it's going to be cool to see how it just continues to help me expand my business as an entrepreneur. But a lot of creators don't think that way. So anyway, that's a hard thing for a lot of dudes to understand.
Yeah.
And then the third level of it is being in Sports Illustrated is like a big deal. A lot of people will only be like, oh my God, you're so hot. Like just super, super
surface level.
What's the word? Surface level, degrading. Even though it's like such a cool big platform, it's like, well, you're in a bikini, like the whole world's gonna see it, and therefore, like, I'm jealous, like jealousy. Oh my God. So anyway, that happened. And then yeah, I mean, I haven't told this story and I really haven't talked about it publicly, but let's just say a certain friend of mine who you and I both know set me up on a blind New Year's adventure. Things just really have been working out. So with somebody that's like accepting and understanding of all of the things that I had had a lot of trouble with people you know, understanding. So for me, it was really challenging for years and years and years. And I am just really happy. And I think confidently say that like some good people are still out there that exist and that are going to support you and your career and dive right in, even if they don't understand it. And I think that's the cool thing about a growing relationship is that you do get to learn new things, right? Like my boyfriend, like he doesn't know what it's like to be an influencer, but he can listen to me and come to events with me and meet amazing people and see how I can grow as an entrepreneur and a speaker, not just this person that posts online. And so I think the more intimate you get with someone, the more closely they get to see your career develop as well. So that was a long-winded dating history, but that's all the tea that I have.
We love it. I feel honored that you spilled all that with us. Like, honestly, I really appreciate it because, you know, I think just as much as your career is inspiring and you sharing so openly about your life and your childhood and what it has led you to, that is inspiring for someone to listen to. But it's then also inspiring for someone to listen to about dating because, you know, whether it's someone who has lived with a chronic illness or a sickness in some way, or just really, as you said, hasn't been on that side of the dating pool. I think everyone has experienced that at some point of feeling not chosen and feeling like the intentions are off and wrong. Mm-hmm. And so for you to continually put yourself out there, but also put yourself out there when you want to, you know, like you prioritizing like when you wanted to do that has led you to this. I think it's really inspiring and exciting.
Yeah. And the one other thing I will say is like, I think you do not need to be anybody else but yourself when you're dating. Like I remember just being so freaked out at the thought of it and just like, how do I show up? Like I actually had never been on a real date before this guy. Like I like a formal, like, I'm going to pick you up, like take you to dinner. We're going to do this like whole thing. Like, no, like I'd never done any of that before. It was all again, casual. And I think waiting is fine. Like, I think that's so normal, especially if you're like a younger woman or person listening and you're like, I've never had a boyfriend. Like I'm 24 and this is the first relationship that I've been in.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's totally fine. And I think the older generations, like, let's be real, like they were getting married and having kids much younger than Gen Z and millennials. And that's totally fine. And I think honestly, technology has a huge role to play in that. There's so many more options. People are so much more accessible. And as a result, it's affecting our mental health. It's affecting how we date. It's affecting how we communicate. The parents might not understand that. And so if you are waiting or if you're struggling, like I did struggle with that for years. I always felt like, oh, if it's not, if my health is not a problem, then my influencer social media life is going to be a problem. If that's not a problem, then like, you know, I'm also vegan. Like a lot of people don't like that I'm vegan. It's like very strange. And so I think no matter what it is that you're dealing with, at some point, there's going to be things that you can kind of like step into a victim mentality of to actually energetically block yourself from those opportunities coming to you, right? I entered the new year being like, I'm going to get this. This is my vision board and I keep it handy on purpose. Wait. So here's my vision board.
Also,
I'm dead. Yeah, so handy. And
yeah, so
I entered the new year wanting to just like chill and like make a vision board with my bestie. Yes.
Like that was all
my intention was. I had pinned things the week before, you know, I was sick. Like I just wanted to find things that I knew I could step into energetically. And because yes. I kind of like prepared myself mentally to enter that on like a clean slate, what unfolded after almost was like, oh my God, this was literally on my vision board. Like I wanted to step into potentially like a relationship this year. So I put like ambiguous like Pinterest couple photos on my Pinterest board. And like, it just like it happened because energetically I placed my mindset in this space of like, this is something you want and you're ready for versus before it was just something I was like, I don't think I can do this. Like I had this surgery, like there's all of these different things that could potentially deter somebody, but it won't deter the right person.
Yes. Pop off. Another mic drop. Like that was so good, Gigi. Thank you so much for sharing about that. Like we said, that's going to be so inspiring for so many people.
Thanks so much for joining us today on the Bod Pod. We release new episodes every week and we're available on all podcast streaming platforms and now YouTube too. Subscribe to our channels to be the first to know. Want to talk all things body confidence, enter amazing giveaways, and hear updates about the BodCon 2023? Find us on Instagram @TheBodCon. My name's Rachel K. Grimm and I'll see you next week.